Jesus. It's the Real Ass Podcast. It's your boy, Louis J. Gomez.
Where's my rattlesnake, Real Ass Dude, Ultimate Minority, Joan Jett of Comedy. I got a lot of names.
International Superstar Zach D'Amico.
How you doing, buddy?
He's funny. He's a psycho. He's a real ass dude.
I was double teaming this chick with her husband. Now he's selling coke in heaven.
Are you fucking ready, motherfuckers?
It's the only real podcast left out there.
You thought you made her pussy wet, but she had diarrhea. You went to go.
Now, Shannon, cut it. This is retarded. That's not going to be the intro. That's already.
That's not pump up music.
Already. It doesn't get people going. That's not what people want to hear. We're on a, you know, it's got to be like, go with another one.
Okay. I like
We have a contest where people are sending in their own original music to be the intro song for the podcast. Yeah, that guy doesn't even get a plug. That's how bad that was. It wasn't even that it was a bad song. It's like, yeah, if I'm chilling out with my homies smoking a blunt and my clubhouse, apparently.
But it was a wet-ass pussy remix.
I liked it.
Wet-ass diarrhea.
Shannon, give me another one. No, turn it off.
Too much.
Nope.
Two of those.
He almost had. There was almost a thing there, and we got excited there for a second, but it was not what we wanted.
Two of those, and then the intro riff would have been.
Yeah, just a little. They should have just fucking.
And then. Chunk. Welcome to the Real Ass Podcast.
Welcome to the Real Ass Podcast.
Can you just clip Lewis doing that and make that intro?
That's not bad. Batman.
Shannon, give me another one. There's got to be better than that. People are sending him in all the live long day.
It's not playing.
Wow. This one's the best one that we've heard this morning.
I'll go back to that one.
Yeah.
So many.
We got a lot. See, people are fucking.
It's a real time recording of Shannon's thoughts.
Oh, this one sent me to an entire Spotify playlist.
What a cunt! He thinks every song that he's ever written is the right intro music. He's out. He's out. Disqualify. Right. Disqualify. One more. We're gonna give one more shot. Then we're moving on.
Okay.
I feel like this is a you problem now, Shannon.
Mm. Because some of them are like in Google Drives. It's just going to take a little bit of a second to get.
Oh, my God. Shows. Fuck me, dude. Welcome to the Real Ass Podcast. Happy Memorial or Labor Day. I wasn't sure. It's Labor Day, right?
Labor Day.
Day.
We've been working so hard for the past 6 months.
It is true, right? Everyone's like, you know what? We should take a break.
Yeah, we need it.
Yeah, it's a little bit wild here.
Too gay, too disco.
Welcome to the Real Ass Podcast, bitches. Pull your dicks out. I'm hungry.
Keep this for Mateo Lane.
Yeah.
When he shows up.
All right, yeah, no, Shannon, none of this. And I don't believe that this is even original music. Now I feel like people are just sending in shit that they've heard. There's got to be original, unlicensed music. Welcome to the Real Ass Podcast. It's your boy, Louis J. Gomez. Your other boy, the international superstar Zach D'Amico is here. What's up, kid?
I'm feeling good. How you doing, man?
I'm chilling, dude. Very happy to have back on the show. It's been a while. He almost forgot about it. I had to remind him. Thank God I texted him last night. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the one, the only, from Tuesdays with Stories. It's Mark Normand.
Hey, hey. Good to be here.
Check out the new special, Out to Lunch, at Mark Norm on Twitter, at Mark Normand on Instagram. Anything else to plug, my brother? Any live shows?
No, maybe Tuesdays, and I'm a psycho. I'm still doing road dates. So people are giving me shit, but I got to pay the rent.
What are they giving you shit about?
All kinds of gigs. They're like, you get on a flight. What are you, crazy? You're a super spreader. You got AIDS. You're gay. And I'm like, I just got to get out there. I got to pay the rent. I live in New York City.
I mean, yeah, like I understand that some people are like, well, dude, you keep telling fucking jokes. I'm like, well, that's the thing for any other job. What do you want me to say?
This is my job.
You know, and to be honest with you, telling jokes, it's a fucking break for people. All those other essential workers, all those doctors, all those fucking nurses, all these people that are working their ass off, those are the people that are showing up to these comedy shows.
Right.
They want a break. They want to relax. They want to drink a little. They want to go back to being normal. You know, whatever. I won't get into a rant on the coronavirus or any of that other stuff, but that's a little bit crazy that people are upset that you're going back to work.
And it's other comics, which is like, all right, what are we doing here? You know what this is.
Name fucking names.
I'm sick of it.
I'm sick of it, Mark Norman. Name fucking
it's
names.
It's D'Elia. It's Callan. No, it's it's just like comics who aren't really working, too, which is a weird little pattern I'm noticing.
So hold on. Comics that are
it's
like...
people that weren't getting booked that much to begin with.
I didn't want to say it, but
woke
you
ass,
nailed it.
Woke-ass dudes?
I guess. It's just people like, how dare you? And you're like, well, you never did the road anyway. What the fuck do you
Their credits are the creek and the cave.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Are these people of the cum-eating persuasion?
No. Yeah. Maybe on stage, but not really.
Yeah, so... yeah,
cum-guzzling, I mean, maybe.
You gotta do what you gotta do. You gotta go out. And to be honest with you, you don't have to go to these shows. I think everyone that was going to die, essentially has died already.
I kind of feel the same way.
Not everybody, obviously. We're being extreme when we say that. But I think for the most part, the death rate has slowed down tremendously. And I don't think it's because they've come up with anything else. I think it's just that
it's damaged.
Herd immunity's kicked in. I think a lot of people have the antibodies. I think a lot of people, at this point, me too. Got them too, baby boy. At this point, we got to fucking move on. I'll tell you right now, moving to Jersey... I'm about to get a fucking Trump flag for my lawn. I'm about to fucking bink, 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 bink right on my lawn. American fucking flag.
Yeah.
Just, I've not seen, and I mean this, a single brown person in my neighborhood.
Wow, congratulations.
I am the brown person. There's going to be an uprising. They do not like the fact that this brown guy's moved in.
Oh, his neighbors must be like, how long is this guy going to work on this fucking house?
Right.
Dude.
He keeps mowing the same lawn. Also, you're just in the garage working out, so they're like, he's getting stronger.
Yeah, no, they don't. They're gonna shut that down very, very quickly. There is a girl across the street from me though that's pretty cute, and I was like, oh, this bitch. She stares regularly into my garage. She looks over every time, says hello every time, and. The garage, man. Thank you, Shannon.
She's like, who should I call about that kid over there?
No, but she's actually the other brown person in the neighborhood. She's kind of cute.
Oh, a fellow brownie.
And then I was like, oh, this chick, fuck it. She's down to fuck me. And
Hispanic
then,
or Indian? Or
I think Brazilian.
Ooh-wee.
Age what a range.
Rump.
Great meat.
23 to 28, somewhere in that age range.
So a little old, but go ahead.
A little on the older side for me, but you know. But she, then I thought she wanted me.
Brown spots.
And then
she might get corona with that age.
She brought over her fiance and they introduced themselves. And I was like, what are you staring at me, bitch? The fuck are you staring at me for? Like, why are you giving me this fucking crazy, like, I want to. And she does give me that vibe. I'm never wrong about the vibe.
Is he a honky, the fiance?
Nerdy white bitch.
I knew it.
White bitch. And I'm over here, I'm getting fucking jacked.
That's
I'm just a dad.
Is.
I got a house, a garage, listening to reggae music while I fucking, thank you.
Joint and mouth.
I really do. I smoke weed and I lift weights in my garage. My life has become awesome.
You're like an ex-con who got out and just living all the things you wanted to do. Your fucking neighbors, you're working out in the garage.
I'm a future con.
Meeting egg noodles with ketchup like some kind of schnook.
Right.
it's really great, man. But yeah, Mark, so you went out to that Pennsylvania gig, huh?
Me and Ari did a show there last night. He packed out two shows. The fucking Jay thing is all you talk about. Every time I'd bomb a joke, I'd go, don't pull me off stage. I'd go, we love it. Talk about that more. I mean, Joel said that event, like, spiked his numbers like corona. I mean, he's going through the roof. The whole state is going to Royersford now because of that event.
Wow. They should book us again.
They should.
Honestly, we should redo the show.
And then you got to have a stage thing with a plant who pulls Jay off stage, and then you mace him and all that.
I love
redo it.
Redo it. Yeah, why not?
Go
that could be the whole
heel.
Act. Why not? You know?
Hit him with a folding chair. Get a real pro wrestling.
That's how was the show good?
It's killer.
Crowds are wild.
It's wild. I mean, Ari is the Willie Nelson of comedy because it's just a puff of weed smoke above the crowd. It's not even legal there, and everybody's going in. They're handing him drugs like crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, fun time. Beach ball going.
Really?
It was a party.
That's fucking great, dude. Yeah, this is what I was thinking. We don't need comedy clubs anymore. This is what we've learned, okay?
Yeah.
You need a stage, a PA system, and a temporary liquor license, which you can get issued very fucking easily. We don't need anybody.
No.
We don't need the comedy Jews. Boom, ba-dum, 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 ba-dum. We don't.
We don't get me started on networks. Fuck those net. We don't need them either. We got YouTube.
Well, Gas Digital's a great network. You guys should subscribe. Use that promo code.
You know
RAP.
What I mean. The big ones. The ones that make money.
I know what you mean.
Yeah, the Netflixes and the Hulus.
No, we really don't.
I think they're running scared. Comedy Central's on the way out.
Comedy Central's like, I think we just make cartoons now.
Yeah, exactly.
Comedy Central's out.
It's just a YouTube channel,
basically. You can either be an Asian woman or a cartoon.
Right.
It's so funny how, like, people
and they're the same thing, really.
Aren't used to, you know, this is what happened with New York and Hollywood just in general, is people fucking, we were just used to doing what we want to do. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, just how, you know, especially like the more, this is why, like, everyone's like leaving LA and leaving New York. Everyone you know is because, like, they just want to do what they want to do. And because they can't, they're wigging out. They're freaking the fuck out. I think people should hold their position until 2021. 2021 is the time when you then say, if it's still fucked up and crazy and things aren't coming back to normal, then I think you make some major life choices.
Right.
But. Yeah, I think that people are wigging out for that reason, and it's sort of unnecessary. You see people like just, I mean, somebody tweeted, like, who was it? Some comic was just like in like Alabama. I was like thinking about moving here. Like, why?
Wow.
What is going on here? And it's like, if you have an audience, and you can draw a little bit on the road. Like the way that I look at it, is I could probably put 100 people in a room in most cities in the country.
Right.
That's enough to fucking get by. Worst case scenario, I can just sort of get by on live shows. If the shit hit the fan, and you know, I could probably just get by and be okay. You know. But that's like pretty little. I mean, that's pretty little, and a lot of people can't even do that. Most comedians can't do that.
No, for sure. It's a different time. You used to go to where the people were, LA, New York, Chicago, and now you just bring the people to you. Mm-hmm. It's a whole game changer. I would like to see the numbers in Austin of like how many people move there after Rogan. I bet it spikes up a little bit.
If you move to Austin after Rogan, you're a faggot. I don't know what else to say. Like, if you follow Joe Rogan to Austin, I'm not taking a shot. I'm sure he has friends that are probably going to. I'm not talking about his friends.
I'm talking about the
public.
I'm
talking about just dudes.
Right.
You're a dude, and you follow Joe Rogan to fucking Austin,
it's
Texas.
Weird.
That is a guy with a kettlebell on a stick.
That is the gayest shit I've ever heard. You're following your favorite comedian or a comedian that you look up to. Like, you think about the amount of fucking open micers that are going to be like, dude, you know what? Here it is.
Going to Austin.
Got to go to Austin now.
Yeah, but it's like the dead. You know, Grateful Dead people will follow anywhere. Fish, he's like that.
Yeah. Yeah, that is true. I mean, look, to completely relocate is just absolutely batshit. But I mean, look, I get leaving the cities now. I get it's just a lot of this whole thing made a few things clear. The fact that we don't need clubs is one that's very, very apparent. I don't know why. Like, I can literally right now go and purchase 200 chairs mm-hmm. that you could put in the back of a fucking folding truck, right? Or, you know, a flatbed truck, a stage and a PA system, and we can just simply go to a fucking field and do a show.
Yeah.
It's not that crazy. You find private property. There are fans. If you're listening to the show right now, hit me up. If you got a fucking field that we can use for a private show, I have no idea how that all works. You can do
if they build it, I will bomb.
But honestly, dude, we'll fucking... Why even need a club at this point? Even when it gets colder out, just go to warmer fucking climates.
Yeah.
Go to a fucking field. Do BYOB on private property. Charge a little bit more per ticket. If you can't get like a temporary liquor license, I'm not doing this anymore. You hear that, clubs? I don't need you. Didn't want me. Guess what? I don't want you now, motherfuckers. I'm going to just go and I'm going to start doing fucking cornfield comedy shows.
Yeah.
And I'm going to fucking have it be BYOB. People get fucked up, do their own fucking thing.
Yeah. Burn some crosses.
Why not, dude?
It's crazy because I talked to Joel. Shout out to Soul Joel. Go check out his show. He's doing better now than he was in a club.
Of
he
course,
owned a club, and now he's on a beach. He's got these, you know, he bought all this sand. It's like
not even a beach. It is sand in the middle of a field. This needs to be pointed out. A beach sand implies that there's water.
Right, that's true.
The beach is where the water meets the sand.
It's more of a Sandy Hook of comedy. But he used to be in this little box up in a brick building that seated like 120 people. Now he's got 400 out in the field.
Yeah.
And it's great. He's charging higher ticket prices. BYOB. He's killing it.
Yeah, dude. That's the thing. I would rather, if I'm a comedy fan, I would rather go to a BYOB comedy show and just get fucked up, get a six pack, get a little bit of liquor, do your fucking thing. And if you do it on private property, that's the way to go, right?
Oh, yeah.
You're like, all you got to do is you hit a venue up and be like, hey, dude, I'll give you a fee. To let us do it in your either parking lot or your field, or you get a private resident, right? That's legal. That's not illegal.
No, you might need a permit for a PA, maybe. Like to speak.
For a private property? No.
Yeah, I guess not.
No fucking way.
Depending on how close you are to other people.
Like, come shut me down, officers. We'll fucking go out. Literally just give the audience all poison. Why not? Zach, let's get your plugs out of the way.
Let's get the show going. Follow me on Instagram, Zach is not funny. Check out my other show here on the network, Zach Amigo's Midnight Spook Show, Fridays at midnight here on Gas Digital, and then Catalyst Wrestling, Saturday mornings at 11 a.m. Same bat channel, same bat time.
More like bat channel.
Yeah, guys, please subscribe to Gas Digital. Use that promo code RAP. Get a 14-day free trial. You get access to everything. Thousands of hours of content available at your fingertips. If you have favorite guests on a show, let's say you guys like somebody like Shane or Mullen or Mark Norman or whoever, right? Just search their name on the search bar. You got, the most popular guests, you're talking about between all the shows on the network, probably hundreds of hours of just the people you already love. Forget the stuff that you can discover. GasDigitalNetwork.com is the website. You get the Racist Live Chat, which is always a part of the show. You get pre-release on all episodes, ad-free episodes. People do hate advertising for some reason. And I love ads.
You gotta have ads.
My son complains about commercials, and I sit him down every time, and I'm like, no, James.
It's a free show.
It's a fucking, you gotta enjoy, you gotta appreciate this. And then I told him, I was like, James, this right here, this is a little movie. It's a one-minute movie. It's a little fun. Like, you're getting to watch little mini movies, but he doesn't get it. He's like, yeah. No, this fucking sucks.
I will say the ads on porn are getting annoying. Right when you're about to splooge, it's like, you know...
Sometimes you know what they do? This is wild. Sometimes you go to a porn site and it's like 10 seconds of ads.
Yeah.
And you're like, 5 seconds is what I'm used to. You sort of have given yourself like...
your wife.
It's almost like you're used to putting a condom on. There's that moment where you catch the rhythm of like, all right, the condom goes on.
Right.
But it's like, you can't just add a whole other thing now.
Yes.
It throws me off.
Completely. I'm totally with you. It sucks. I'm trying to get into it and your pants are off. And usually when you're jerking off, you're like under the gun. You know, somebody's coming in or you got to go to work or a baby shower or whatever it is.
We got to shower a baby.
Yeah.
That's playground. What I call coming, a baby shower.
Oh, tweet that. Tweet it.
That is a good tweet.
That's a good tweet.
That's what I call it when I come, a baby shower. Solid. Solid work right there. Yeah, so you know what's up, man. Go check out all the other pods as well. Legion of Skanks, Believe You Me podcast, all here on the Gas Digital Network. Follow my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/PRRattlesnake. I'll be Twitch streaming later on today. I've been crushing it. My Warzone gameplay has gotten to another level. My fucking Rocket League, and I've been Rocket League-ing like a fucking motherfucker, okay? Race car soccer all day long. Obviously, always crushing it at Fortnite. twitch.tv/PRRattlesnake. I'm officially affiliated, and I think they're trying to make me a partner. They hit me up with some inbox shit saying I could be a partner now. I don't know what that means. I think it means that I'm doing well. I'm doing fucking well in the Twitching.
Nice. Or the Twitch is doing horrible.
What?
Dylan? Also, I'm pretty sure everyone, you can say whatever you want in the chat now. I changed that.
You changed it so people can say the N-word. N-words, racist live chat is now on my Twitch channel. Yep. It moves over. Anytime I'm Twitching, you guys can say racist shit. Just know that. I don't give a fuck, dude. I don't give a fuck. I embrace the racism.
There you go.
Fuck yeah, dude. I wrote that just now. Tweet it. I'm going to tweet it out. Thanks, Mark.
You know, Michael J. Fox is on Twitch.
Is he?
Nah.
You know what? Fuck it. Guess we'll snake. Guess we'll snake.
All right.
That's a good joke. Good joke there.
That's fun.
And follow my YouTube channel, youtube.com/LuisJGomezComedy. Get my latest fight journal. I try to keep the fight talk off the podcast, and I know I slip up here and there, and I put it on my fight journal. Don't watch it. People are complaining, like, dude, I don't fucking want to watch this. Like, don't.
Yeah.
What are you talking? Don't, you fucking psycho. Stop watching it. If you don't want to watch it, if you want to be inspired, if you want to watch an everyman journey from being a fucking fat fuck and being out of shape to weekly just getting an update and getting some insight as to everything that goes into this fight, you would watch this. If you think it's cringy and you're not interested in hearing me talk about fights, don't watch it. If you complain about it on that fucking channel, I'm going to move the conversation over to the podcasts that you love that have nothing to do with this fight. So that is my warning for you, okay? If you guys keep on fucking complaining, guess what? I'm going to make an entire fucking segment here. We're going to actually just watch the fight journal and break it down every episode of Real Ass Podcast. We're going to do it every episode with the different guests. I'm going to show it to each fucking guest that week, the same exact fight journal. So shut the fuck up, you fucking faggots. I don't want to be the person that fucking deletes comments or blocks people from shit. That is the worst. That is goddamn awful. But it's just becomes to a point. It's like, dude, why are you fucking doing this? You wonder why I'm doing it, you fucking assholes, you piece of shit? Because I'm fucking getting paid too. I'm literally getting fucking paid to document this entire journey, okay? And some people are fucking inspired by it. So it's a double whammy. I get to make money, and some people get to be fucking inspired. You know how many people hit me up every day being like, dude, I watch your fight journal. I got off my ass. I was being a fucking lazy bitch, and I got... Damn it, he always attacks me. Got off my ass. Kicked my TV, threw it out the window, blocked Lewis on all social media, and went about my day.
Flawless victory.
I'm just saying, okay? But I will fucking...
Is the garage door closed when you're working out?
Sometimes.
All right.
Thank you. The garage door is not always closed.
Oh, man. The neighbors.
No, he does the American Beauty. He wants people to see him.
Yeah, and then the gay guy comes over, kisses him.
No, I would like other men in my neighborhood to come over and be like, hey, dude, can I work out with you? You're fucking awesome.
Nice.
We have a little bro club.
That'd be nice.
And now here's what's going to happen. Fucking some fans are going to be like, dude, I'll be in your bro club. No, you're not having my fucking address, you savages.
Right.
The guy who dropped me off all that weightlifting equipment, he would have dropped it off at my new home. I absolutely refused to give him my address. I made him drop it off at the studio. And even the studio I was nervous about. I was like, you know what? Whatever. If he kills Shannon, it's not really a big deal.
Yeah, you can replace her.
Yeah.
A lot of Puerto Ricans out there.
I get very nervous about crazy people. I don't know why, like in New York City, it feels safer from crazies. Because all you got to do is find my building. You see me walking to my building in Jersey, you're like, oh. Lewis and his family live there.
Right.
I can guess where he sleeps.
There's 10 windows. One of them has his son, right?
Yeah.
If you go to, if
it's
you
like
watch
a
me.
Sexy advent calendar.
Right. It's like the 25 days of Christmas calendar where you fucking.
That's what an advent calendar is.
That's what I didn't know what it meant.
There you go.
Shannon, do me a favor, edit that. Make it sound that I'm smart. I know what I'm talking about.
Has Joey Diaz been over yet? Oh, sorry.
It's a Chris Scopo flow runner drop.
The memorial, oh, wow.
The Chris Scopo memorial drop.
Anytime we ruin the flow on the show, we still blame Chris Scopo.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Joey Diaz has not been over yet, but soon enough.
All right.
Soon enough.
When he comes by, that's really going to scare the neighbors.
Oh, yeah.
They're multiplying.
Like, yeah, it's not going to be good.
The big one's here.
Right.
So... All right, real quick, guys, we should thank Yo Kratom sponsoring my brand new web series, Lewis J. Gomez Fight Journal. Marquee sponsors of Skankfest this year. They're what an incredible company that supports all the comedy that you guys know and love. If you guys are over the age of 21, Yo Kratom is the place to go if you guys are in the market for Kratom. If you guys don't use Kratom, I'll tell you right now, a lot. Do a little research, see if it can help you out. Shannon loves Yo Kratom. She's basically a Kratom addict. It becomes a problem every time I see her. She's a little more wonked out, but it's okay. They're home of the $60 kilo, which is literally unheard of. Nobody's giving you a $60 kilo of Kratom. Once again, the website is yokratom.com. They're home of the $60 kilo. All right. Where were we? All right. Let's get into some of this shit here. These are some fun stories here. I like it, guys. I got to save this one for LOS, though. The woman without a forehead. It's just, I mean, come on.
Three head?
A woman without a forehead?
So it's just eyes and hair?
How does that work?
I mean, how do I not bring that to this? Such an LOS topic, Shannon.
I know. Where do you put the swastika?
I have to save it. I really do. I'm sorry.
A sneak peek?
Let me get a sneak peek. We'll do a sneak peek.
Real quick?
Yeah.
Let's see a picture of this bitch.
That's a line.
I've literally fucked uglier women in the past year.
You solved that with a headband.
Right.
She looks like she's got a dirty ring around her head, like she was in bathwater up to her fucking forehead for hours.
That's a Katrina line.
Go back, and there's pictures of her without the forehead, or after the accident.
Yeah, I don't want to.
No, don't give it up. This is a preview of later on Legion of Skanks.
That's a forehead, just with a pen mark.
Yeah, I don't mean to be a jerk, but hey, lady, you thought about bangs?
Oh yeah, that's a good save.
All right, what are you gonna do? All right, so pulled up this story. 3-year-old is briefly lifted up into the sky when she gets caught on a kite. One of my biggest fears is why I don't fly kites with my son.
Old school.
Yeah.
Ben Franklin.
I didn't know that was a real thing that could happen.
I didn't either. It's a big kite.
Let's see. Let's see the video.
Oh, we got video. Oh, look at the size of this thing.
If you let your three-year-old hold this giant dragon of a kite.
Yeah.
What do you expect?
I mean, this is like Shannon's Tampa. It's huge.
Is it a little boy or a little girl? Because I don't know why a little boy seems less scary.
It's a little girl.
It's like Shannon's Tampa.
I'm not sure the exact minute it happens.
It's
oh,
fine.
Boy.
This is... It's turning me on.
This is going to be the new way to cross over the border. Kite.
Bad luck. All right, they're going to let it go. Why, I mean, why are they letting a three-year-old hold this?
It's like, it's a kite. Oh, there we go.
Whoa.
Oh, my God.
I mean, that's high. That's 100 feet
holy
in the air.
Holy
no way.
Shit.
That, there's no way that's real.
How do you get that down? Oh, she just shit.
No way. No way. People are taping instead of trying to help our fucking pieces of shit. Are you kidding me?
Whoa.
Should we make this a Doesn't Live?
No way. No way.
Oh, they got her. They got
fake.
Her.
No way. It has to be fake.
It's real. There's,
no fucking way. That has to be fake.
There's several different camera angles.
Let me see another camera. No fucking way.
Are we sure that's not a doll?
You know what that seems like? That seems like, you know how they make those viral videos that look like crazy? There's like the guy that jumps, like the actually jumps a shark with the surfboard. There's a few different ones that are like wild. The guy who does like on a half pipe, he flips over. Like, but these are like marketing videos that they make go viral, like special effects companies.
Mm-hmm.
There's another angle.
How she must be tied to it, because there's no way she can hang on.
It looks like a scene from the new Willy Wonka movie.
they got her.
They said, they said that it got caught around her waist.
Whoa.
It hung her?
Wow.
Where is this at?
In Taiwan.
I don't know why it's funnier that it's an Asian kid.
Of course. They're very light. They have hollow bones.
That's fucking wild.
She was only 28 pounds, so it made it easy to just...
28 pounds.
She was in the air for 30 seconds until she came down low enough, and she suffered only minor scrapes and scratches to her face and neck.
I mean, it also looked like a scene in Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Oh, yeah.
You remember the flying on top of trees thing? That was fucking wild, dude.
That was a cool movie.
That was...
So what was the original, we didn't fuck this up plan? Was it multiple people were going to hold it with the baby?
Everyone
just went, like a one, two, three.
Good point.
That's fucking absolutely wild.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even know what I would do. I have no idea. In that moment, like you think your kid's dead. I would assume my kid is dead.
Yeah. Because the drop from that height, you're at 28 pounds, you're fucked.
I mean, the amount of people that just straight up fucking pulled their phones out and started taping, it's sort of, that's kind of scary.
That's where we're at.
No matter what you, in that moment, I mean, look, I know it's sort of silly, right, for everyone to be running around, but everyone should be fucking running around trying to catch that fucking kid.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a very funny scene to have a bunch of Asians fucking running around.
Can I be honest? Whoever catches her should get the keeper.
But, I mean, do you see that rape on the subway platform?
Yeah.
There's just somebody filming
I didn't see it.
And you're like, what the fuck?
It was an actual rape?
Not a dude, like, tackled the lady and then just like, started humping her.
Yeah. Clothes on, but still.
Oh, that's not a rape.
He got arrested.
That's a...
It looked like it was preparing for a rape.
Yeah.
And then he got spooked.
Can we see?
Easy.
Yeah, can we see that?
Don't pulling it up.
I would love to see
they
that.
Actually caught the guy using facial recognition software.
Ooh.
It makes me feel very safe.
No, it doesn't. It makes me feel worse. They're going to catch us using facial recognition software, Shannon.
Don't rape anybody.
Damn it. Ah, they thwarted my plan with facial recognition software.
Here it is.
I'm in a little. Look at this guy.
I like how he gets up. He's like, what's the problem?
Wait, is there volume on it?
I don't think so.
Crime Stoppers.
What is she wearing?
A dress.
He's going to look for an uncensored version.
Who's that guy back there?
He's looking for a different version of
it. He's trying to show the victim, you're a piece of shit. You're a fucking piece of shit.
Okay, well, here's the thing. If something that happened that fast, I don't know if you would even know something better. Like, you might be like, oh, this is a couple, like, fucking around.
I guess.
Like, if you just saw, like, turned around and saw somebody.
That's how people
else.
Would dance at my eighth grade dance.
Yeah.
The eighth grade prom, that was the dance they would do. Is a girl would lie on the floor and then a guy would get on top and just start humping. I would assume they're having a nice dance.
All right.
They're a little old school.
But on the subway?
And it was like 11 a.m. on a Saturday. It was like very daytime that it happened. But she was screaming.
Did he first say, party people? She was screaming. There's no volume, though. I want to know what she was screaming.
He's looking for a
I've definitely seen this uncensored with sound.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Woo. Oh, shit.
What did she scream?
I don't know. I don't remember.
I think she's just shrieking.
Mm.
I think it was traumatic.
Yeah.
All right, do you think it's shrieking or there's words? 50-50 shot here. I say that there's...
I'm going shriek.
I'm going to go words.
The iron shriek.
I'm going to say that she said she's...
Well, I know which word she should have yelled, but...
He looks Puerto Rican, by the way. He looks
like I don't know. Well, he's got a fro.
Afro-Puerto Rican. Mm. Like Lewis.
Oh, yeah. It's true.
Nice. There goes the neighborhood.
Yeah, there is a thing where people want to take out their cell phones now and film. I filmed recently a woman. I almost want to send it to Shannon for the show. I wonder if I still have it on my phone because she could only hear it. Did I ever play this on the show, Shannon? I'm gonna have to try to find this. Okay, so there was a woman. What I heard. This is my apartment in New York. Okay, and what I heard. Let me go to videos. Sorry, guys. What I heard was just a woman screaming, like shrieking, like really, like, help, help.
Oh, wow.
And it was like early, like 6:30 in the morning, 7 in the morning. And I was like, oh, fuck.
She was at your house?
It's funny because I have a joke about this now, a similar thing, because a similar thing happened. But it's like, what do? Like, you don't know, like, you just open your window and you're like, okay, this is a woman in New York screaming somewhere. You can't even, like, call the cops and say, like,
right.
But you're like, there's a woman, you know, she's out there. So... But I was like, fuck, dude. The pit in my stomach, I was like, there's a woman being attacked right now. Mm-hmm. And I thought of Dave Kimowitz and his babysitter, the way she was being attacked in the street. And like, he fucking killed her in front of a house like that. Like, he chased her down. And like, you know, like and people heard the screams. And that, like, immediately I was like, fuck, dude, that really fucked me up. And then I was looking out the window trying to like see what happened. And then I saw police and ambulance pulling her out of her house and like strapped to a thing.
Whoa.
And she was just a crazy bitch. And she was trying to use like Black Lives Matter. She's like, I'm a woman of color. But she's like literally wacky, like wild, like wild, like help, help, they're taking me, help, help. Like, dude, it was blood curdling.
Wow.
But at that point, I was like, get her in the car. Get her in the car. She's a danger to society.
Right.
But I was videotaping it.
Well, that's different because she wasn't in danger.
Yeah, because I want to play it on the show. I also have a show. These people don't have shows.
That's a good point. You need entertainment, folks.
Hold on. I want to see content. If I could actually find this on my phone. I might not be able to. It was a while ago, and I don't want to take too much time. Oh, here it is. Here it is. Here, I'll just play it on here.
Whoa! Anyone else hard?
Just across the street at this point.
That is blood curdling.
I mean, it sounded like somebody was being murdered, but this is after I knew she was already a crazy person being put into a cop car. This wasn't before, but this is what I heard before.
Yeah, I could see that.
This bitch is fucking crazy.
I said, this bitch is fucking crazy.
Wow, that was blood-curdling.
But
that's alarming.
Dude, I heard that, like, it woke me up, and it was like, it was in the building right next door, so you heard it, like, in New York, sometimes you'll see, like, there's a window that faces – the people from New York or big cities are going to understand this. In New York City, sometimes you'll have a window in your apartment that just faces like 4 feet away another building. But it's like – it was almost like a little like cube of just like four like – so I heard it like down – it was like in an apartment below me but in another building. Right. It was fucking – I mean horrifying because it echoed up like the entire like building. It was fucking – I thought somebody was being stabbed to death.
Yeah.
It was, and then when I found out she was just being crazy, I was like, oh, I hit her.
Yeah.
She's fucking waking me up like a psycho.
Yeah, taser, at least.
Yeah, dude. I mean, just like that shit, like, but that's the thing where it's like, you know, what do you do in that situation? But it's like, you know, part of my instinct, she was being so like convincing with the way she was screaming, and she was like, help, like the way she was screaming, help me. Like part of me wanted to help her.
Sure.
Part of me wanted to be like, to go to the cops and be like, what are you doing? And then you sort of see, like, I don't know exactly what happened there, but I'm assuming she was being fucking nuts or on drugs or whatever it is. But it's like people that sometimes get involved, they're sort of standing around and this person's flailing, going, help me. They're, you know, you have this instinct like, oh my God, like, you know, what are you doing to that person?
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, maybe she was hurting herself, her family members. Who knows what the fuck happened there?
Bipolar.
You
know?
But the way they're all acting, I watch the cops who are standing there calm. They have their face masks on, being like, Miss, you have to come, you know. Mm. And then she's acting like a fucking savage.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to automatically side with the person that's acting like the savage. There's a fucking...
Damn. You know,
it was wild, though.
I heard she was watching Dave Smith's special.
I can't even fucking guess at that. Fuck you, Dave Smith.
Love you, Dave.
Suck a fucking dick.
Not
but,
the president.
Yeah, that. Yeah, that is a just a scary, scary sound.
I had a crazy lady in my old building that was squatting. I guess she was probably like in her, I would say like mid-40s, and I think she went home with some dude who lived in my building. And got him to leave. And she just wouldn't leave.
Wow.
And people put up like wanted posters with her face on it. Because she was hammered all the time. She would sit in the stairwell drinking tall boys.
Mm.
And she would shit in the elevator.
Oh.
Damn.
Oh. And I watched cops take
put
this
her down.
I watched cops take this
electric chair. I
out
mean,
of my
kill
building
her.
Three different times.
Wow.
And put her in an ambulance. And somehow she would be back in.
Jeez.
You put her down.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You put her down. I'm sorry, you shit my elevator.
Not just a shit. I mean, a liquid diarrhea all over the elevator.
Drinking OD.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll do it. Goes right through you. Floor
white
number two.
White lady.
White
wow.
lady.
We all pictured a black lady. That was on us.
I know.
That white was racism.
Lady.
That was racism
Denise
right
McMahon.
There.
Denise.
Denise Painter was my mother.
Was she hot?
No, she was like, she was worn.
Hmm. Seen a few winters.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. That's one of the reasons why I'm happy out of New York. That sound, like that's not even like my block in New York City was every day was people loudly yelling, loud music.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll say another person you could put down. Puerto Ricans with loud loud car stereo with loud babies, sisters, girlfriends, moms.
Oh, right.
No. With loud car stereos, a Puerto Rican dude. Why?
What is that?
Why?
I don't understand that.
Am I an old fucking racist Republican man? I don't know what to say. Why?
What about consideration? Like, do you think I used to see this guy at the gym? He would blast his music. It was a fucking rec center, so it was public. So people would just come in and blast a boombox.
At the rec center?
At the rec center. And there's like old white guys in there like trying to lift a 1-pound dumbbell with high black socks on. And he's like, what is this? And you're like, get a fucking headphone. And then another guy would come in with loud music and they would have like a fight. And you're like, you guys don't realize you're the same cunt. You're just fighting with each other about the shit we all hate.
Yeah, but you guys are at a rec center working at $50 a year.
That's what it is. That's
it's like, what are you doing?
The whole thing was just me listening to salsa music and helping old people when a weight fell on them. That was my whole thing.
The first time I ever got in shape was when I started working out at a rec center. It was $50 a year in Queens.
Yeah.
It was a little bit of a walk. And I remember I found an MP3 player. It was like before iPods were popular, but it was like when there was other competitors on the market, when MP3 players were a thing. And it just had one album in it. It was the, what was that fucking rapper? I turn my head to the left, da-da-da-da-da-da, by my side. I turn my head to the east, da-da-da-da-da, by my dan. I turn my head to the north, bum 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 by my side. Da-da-da-da-da-da,
da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, we got the intro music.
Put it on right now.
It's a very long stretch.
It is.
T.I.? All right.
This idiot.
Zach hates it. Zach, we figured out recently that Zach dies because of my bad jokes 2 or 3 times per show. No, that's not it. Wait, it is.
I've never heard that in my life.
But this reminds me of when I first got into shape. This was like, because I listened to this person's MP3 player. I found this, a Tiffany's bracelet.
Wow.
I found a bag. Yeah. This shit reminds me of running on the treadmill. It's the old shitty treadmills at the rec center. And they would, like, slide, like, shitty treadmills that aren't, like, maintained for some reason. Yes. Like, if you don't run perfectly on them, like, your foot will hit it and it'll slide forward. Right, and you almost right. break your fucking neck.
Yeah.
And, yeah, dude, I would just listen to that and fucking throw around shitty weights. These old people were all there. Just fucking some another Puerto Rican guy was jacked.
Yeah, it's dusty as hell. Oh, so dirty, dude. Mood. One guy would just sit on the bench and read the newspaper. Like, what are you doing? But you didn't tell him shit because it was the rec center.
You can't do anything.
Yeah, like an old, dusty air conditioner. The mirrors had cracks in it.
Oh, Judah
crazy.
Freelander would come in and play ping pong with Asian people. I swear to God, dude.
It's hilarious.
It was wild. The rec center at that time was pretty fucking wild.
Yeah. That's a show. That could be a show.
Rec Center. That's a great show.
He's phenomenal at ping pong.
He's really
amazing.
Good at ping pong. Yeah,
amazing. Yeah. I played him once. It was insane. It was like Forrest Gump.
I told him about it. I was like, oh, dude, they have this like Asian ping pong league at this rec center that I go to. And he was like, really?
I'm there.
Dude, he went. Yeah, and he's sort of showing up to it.
And he walks in. You're like, who's this hobo? You know, he's got the beard. He's got a bag of groceries or whatever. And he just wipes the floor.
Yeah. That's fucking great. Yeah, so the rec center was great. That was my my journey to fitness.
Yeah,
T.I., part of my motivation. You need a little bit of music.
I think gyms are open now.
I think they just opened up, but Equinox is not going to get my money from me because I built my own gym, and I just lost my ATM card. I mean, if you want to see, you want to laugh, pull up my Twitch stream from last night, right before it ends, Dylan. Just me losing my mind when I realized that my new ATM card's not working on Uber Eats. And it's just like a baby. Like, I literally throw my controller down. And I stop playing. I'm like, I'm not playing anymore. I yelled at my people that were watching. It was a nightmare. Because I called the bank. I called the bank, and they fucking, they were closed. How do you call the fucking, how do you close
you
if somebody's.
Bank?
Well, I did. I called, like, the Chase hotline.
Ugh.
Thinking that you can just call them at, like, any time. What if I'm in another country and my card stops working?
Right. I guess you can do it all online. I do it all on the app. You can deposit a check with your phone.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know it.
That's nice. You don't even need to go to the bank and have the weird hobo open the door for you when you're like, I'm pulling out a 20. What am I going to give you?
I lost my fucking ATM card in a car. Is Ridgewell a sponsor anymore?
Let me scroll through the month.
Here we go. Here we go.
Let me know. Let me fucking know. Because I got a thing or two to say about Ridge Wallets. Ooh.
No good.
Things we hate on this show. It's fake weed and money clips.
Oh, my God. No, I love fake weed. I enjoy some fake weed.
That's the worst radio team. It's fake weed, money clips in the morning.
I don't see them on for this month. It doesn't mean they won't.
Fuck Ridge Wallet this month. Fuck them. Fuck them right in their fucking little slidey, skinny fucking coin slot asses. The wallet is shaped in the shape of the slots in between car seats. Like if you look at the way a buckle comes out of like the car, right?
Yes.
The belt buckle, the seat buckle. What it goes into is a Ridge Wallet shaped slot. Okay, and it is a perfect fucking slot for a Ridge Wallet, and it's such a perfect slot, you don't even hear anything. It just goes, there's no clink. It's fucking nothing but net every fucking time. I've lost 3 Ridge Wallets in the back of Ubers.
It's like a dick into a fee hand.
Just,
yeah,
in a place,
I
got
more Ridge Wallets.
Karen's got a ton of M&Ms in there, coins, Ridge Wallets. Car keys.
Could have brought the Lucas wallets.
Lost comedians of years past are just hanging out in the walls, writing lines.
Sack of Jawea in there.
Oh, shit. Fuck.
Like mall people, they haven't seen light.
Right, yeah. Right.
Like, holy shit, Jamie Kilzine's in here. Where the fuck has he been?
Holy shit. Is that Geraldo?
But it's the Ridge Wallet is, you know, and I think it's a great wallet. I really do. And if they come back on the show, we're going to have to figure something out. Is there a chain? Can we do a Big J Okerson chain to attach to the Ridge Wallet? The same way that you used to back in the day, you could attach a piece of tape to a coin and make a phone call.
Right.
That's what you need to do with your Ridge Wallet, is you need to have a string attached to it in case it fucking goes in the slot of an Uber seatbelt buckle.
Well, they have the scoop divide. What do you call that? It's like a thing you put in that slot.
But it's not.
And it catches your shit.
This isn't the point. See, what you're talking about is it's essentially a trapper keeper that you put next to your car seat. When you're driving or you're in the passenger
slides right
seat,
in.
Slides right in. And if you drop a fucking French fry or a booger, boom, you pick it right up, shake it out, you're all good, right?
So now you need both sponsors. You need
but
to get them on.
That's not what I'm saying.
Uh-huh.
You gotta...
They have this chain.
Well, thank you. They should have fucking sent me three of them, yeah. All right? So, Shannon... But you gotta go to like a back seat of a car. That's what I'm talking about. It's a back seat of a car.
Seat.
And what the buckle comes out of, right? So like the thing that you clip into, right? This thing sticks out, right?
Yeah.
Like this on the seat, right?
Yeah.
This part right here, this hole right here that's holding the it's the perfect size slot.
Right, right.
Did I explain that clearly enough?
Yeah, no, you didn't. You're not getting anything out
of
it.
As good as you're going to do it.
But if you get the keychain thing, now you're just adding the whole point of the
right in there. Yes, yes. No, not in between the seats. Where the fucking buckle comes out. Right. Yes. God damn it.
By the way, if you go, I went to the, you know, the Soul Joel spot. The Big J indentation is still in the sand.
No.
I swear to God, it's this huge... You know, big fat body with like spiky hair and a chain wallet. It's still there.
And a bunch of footprints around it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Oh, shit. Yeah, so, okay, we should really quickly talk about Manscaped, incredible new sponsor on the show. Manscaped makes the incredible lawnmower 3.0. Mark Normand, I don't know if you use like a razor blade down there. I don't know what you're using down there. You just let it all go.
I let it go, but I love Manscaped and I love the lawnmower.
What the fuck? You let it all go?
Yeah.
No, stop it. Can we give him a lawnmower right now?
Please.
Do you have one or do you not have one?
I have one. I love it, but I only hit around the base to like to make the tree stump look bigger.
So you
That's
keep
all
it
I
all
do.
Puffy.
Oh, yeah. I like puffy. It hits the clit.
No, no. You're fucking crazy, dude. No, that's not the way girls want it. Shannon, how do you like it? You like it to be not trimmed to the skin like a fucking weird porn star, but nice and fucking scruffy, like a 5 o'clock shadow on my dick.
Like hugging your uncle.
Yeah, exactly. An uncle hugger.
Yeah, it's a very clean. It looks hygienic. When
very,
it's like
clean
very
cut. Yeah, dude. I fucking do it. It's so easy. And I'll tell you right now, the reason I used to freak out about it and let my shit get wild because I was afraid of nicking myself. Okay?
Yes.
What I would do is I would use my hair clippers, same ones, do my head, do my balls right there and then. And they were so raggedy and fucking just this is ones you buy at a fucking drugstore, right? They would slice my fucking dick. It was crazy, okay?
Yeah,
and I started being very scared of it. Same thing if I was using a Bic. You don't have to worry about that because the Lawnmower 3.0, it's designed to not nick your balls, okay? Mm-hmm. You can be as rough as you want. I'm telling you right now, it's waterproof. You could do it in the shower. They have an LED light. If you want to fuck around in the dark, let's say you want to shave your balls in the dark, that's how comfortable they are that you're not going to nick your balls, is that you could actually use the LED light on it. It really is incredible. They have quiet stroke technology, which, you know, we all use growing up. And, it really is just the coolest, fucking best ball trimmer on the market. There's no bullshit. Go look at all the reviews that are out there. I'm supposed to say it. Obviously, they're sponsoring the show, but find out what other people are saying about this product. It really is an incredible product. All you got to do is go to manscaped.com. That's manscaped.com and use the promo code REALASS at checkout. That's going to get you 20% off plus free shipping. Once again, that is code REALASS, REALASS at manscaped.com. Go there right now and trim your balls. You'll thank me later. Okay, let's get back into it. Moving on. Let's, what happened? Black Lives Matter protesters attack elderly white diners.
I saw that in Rochester.
They're
throwing chairs and shit. It was crazy.
Yeah,
it's happened in a bunch of places. This particular article, I believe, shows it in Pittsburgh over this past weekend.
Let's see what happened. Let me get a coffee, Dill.
Dill. I'm just waiting for the ad to stop.
Fucking ads.
What do you do? I love them. Get some volume on this, guys.
Right.
I'm going to hear it, obviously.
Oh, these are like old ladies.
Let's see. That.
Bridgewater.
No!
It really is.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Oh, shit!
Dude, they're listening.
They're
listening. I don't like it.
They just sent you a message.
Wow.
You're going to wake up with a Bridgewater in your bed.
Expandable compartment will slide right into the fucking belt buckle of a backseat of an Uber.
They're listening, dude.
What is that?
We lube it up so it slips in extra fast.
Yep.
We made it the exact color of the backseat of every Uber.
The Ridge.
They just sent you a message like the mob, bro.
Fuck
yeah, they did.
Let's hear it.
Hey, shit about you, kid. Be your authentic self. Yeah. You're an embarrassment. This is how you're treated. Put the mask on.
I don't know what's even going on right now.
Saying that you're an embarrassment.
old bitch. Even the black guys are like, shit, I gotta get out of here.
Yeah. So
it feels like they're just running out of people to yell at. So they're like, oh, these people are sitting here.
I mean, do they hit them or do they...
She just drinks her drink.
Oh!
Uh-oh.
Damn. Talk about a mess.
Let's see. They do have a pretty good drum circle, though. No justice, no peace. Bum, bum, ba-da-bum, ba-dum, bum, ba-dum, bum, bum. Justice, no peace. No justice, no peace. No justice.
Intro.
No peace. This is pretty good. I'll use this as the intro. That's a great idea. No justice, no peace. No justice, no peace. Well, I gotta be honest with you. They didn't really do anything that bad. They just yelled, drank her drink. I mean, like, it's shitty.
I mean,
you know?
There's worse ones. I saw a chick on Facebook who's a waitress, and she said that their restaurant got, like, destroyed.
Yeah, I mean, that's some shit where it's like, you know, that was almost a non-story. Yeah. It's like, you know, it does suck. Like, you're bullying fucking old people, you know?
But that's also just an outlying, crazy, small percent of people that are involved. It's the same as, like, the crazy two white people that had guns that were, like, protecting not their house.
Right.
Yeah, but it's
those two
old people that spoke at the Republican National Convention, they were still pretty fucking awesome. I don't know. What do you want me to say, dude? If I had a fucking gun and you came over to my home and were threatening to destroy it, I would stand on my front lawn with my gun and I would make eye contact with you. I don't know what to fucking tell you.
6 days.
I don't know what to tell you. This is not about, like, I have a kid. I work very hard. Nobody's given me anything in my life. I'm not a fucking product of privilege, okay? I don't give a fuck. And you can't look at any person and look at their property, the color of their skin or whatever, and say, well, this person is definitely has everything they have because of privilege. No, you don't know anybody's fucking story.
Right.
You don't know what some people had to fucking drag themselves out of the fucking gutter. I'm half white. My white family had no privilege. Okay.
Right.
Whatever privilege you think is afforded to fucking white people, my poor welfare recipient, non-fucking motivated family that literally just the most successful person in my family made $12 an hour. Okay. Mm. My family, and I don't mean to shit on my family, but the white side of my family, they did not have, they were very much white trash, and they didn't have education. They didn't have drive. They didn't really have anything. A lot of drug problems, a lot of alcohol problems. So whatever privileges, just because of the whiteness of their skin, I would rather be a brown person like me and have all of the fucking drive, desire to win, creativity, fucking whatever it is that pushes me to try to get to the next fucking day, put more money in my bank account, give my kid a better fucking life. All fucking day. That is real privilege. That's where I'm lucky. I'm truly lucky that I'm driven to fucking do things.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't have that. Most people don't have that.
No, most people don't.
So to act like anybody is just automatically privileged based off the color of their skin is as racist as saying that anybody who's brown is a criminal, right?
Mm.
So I think it's...
It's like a cop when they go, you fit the description. What, because I look like this?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm automatically this way?
It's a crazy thing, and it's very divisive. It creates, when they do that, it's an adverse effect. They're talking about, like, wanting to, you know, end the police state and defund the police. More police are coming. Keep on doing that shit. More police. More security. They're going to pretend. They're going to do little shady things. They're going to go, well, we defunded them $1 billion. They're just allocating the money in a different way. Mm-hmm. They're not making the place any like less cops or less safe for white rich people. I'm telling you right now, it's just very easy to pull a hood over these people's faces. It's very easy to go like, oh, look, we're investigating the cops that killed Breonna Tyler now. And everyone goes, cool, let's move on. They just move on. They don't even really give a fuck, right?
Wow, those cops have their own hoods.
Yes.
I did read that one. I think maybe Pittsburgh Dinosaur Barbecue hired Hell's Angels to stand outside.
Shut up.
During the protest.
It's that's like fucking Woodstock all
20
over.
20 Hell's Angels just
good.
Standing there. And can I be honest? I really support that.
Yeah, I mean,
that's a good move.
Aren't they like 90? They're old as shit now.
I know, they make more.
They have new Hell's Angels.
Oh, there's a Hell's Angel club right here. They're terrifying, dude.
Yeah.
You ever
really?
Walk past the Hell's Angel?
Yeah.
They're
all the. I know exactly what you're talking about.
They're fucking.
It looks like a tiny firehouse.
I have no idea. Maybe it's just the perception of what it used to be or whatever it is. I just know that I would not fuck with those bikes that are sitting there. Whatever it is, I you feel like it's a fucking dangerous ass motorcycle club.
Yeah.
I remember I used to produce music shows back when I was a teenager. I used to, you know, do hardcore shows. You know, that's how I knew Coheed and Cambria and, you know, Sworn Enemy, E-Town Concrete, a lot of hardcore bands, a lot of heavy metal bands. But those were some of the ones that got bigger or were bigger. But there was a band called Bulldoze. And this band was like a hardcore band from like the 80s and 90s.
That's what they call me when I sleep.
But they were like real hardcore. Like they were bikers. Like all rode motorcycles. They all had been in jail for like selling drugs and fucking beating up people and fucking. And they were at this show to, I think they were supporting. Were they even playing? I don't even know if they might have been playing. But I think they were there to support Sworn Enemy or something. It was like a Sworn Enemy and Coheed and Cambria show. You got to understand what like pussy music Coheed and Cambria is compared to Sworn Enemy. To be fair, just pull up just a quick little clip of Coheed and Cambria song and a quick clip of Sworn Enemy to hear the just the difference in type of like Coheed is a great band, but they're like progressive, like sort of metal, but they're not. They're very like poppy and like the singer sings like a chick. Mm-hmm. And then Sworn Enemy is like straight up like thug hardcore, like, you know, fucking bitch in the head, you know. Alright, that's Coheed and Cambria. It's awesome. I like Coheed and Cambria. It is fun. Look, it's chick, it's girl chick music. Core. It's for, you know.
That's fine.
It's okay. It's like Incubus was for women.
Yeah.
You know? And that play a little Sworn Enemy.
While he's pulling up, I found a picture of Bulldoze.
Ooh, yeah.
Is that them? I feel like that's a different Bulldoze. Maybe they've changed over the years. I don't know. It could be a different Bulldoze.
But correct me if I'm gay, but aren't the Hells Angels old war vets who like couldn't find a way in life and they're all addicted to crank and they get bikes and join a gang?
Yeah, but I think you get more people eventually.
Oh, all right.
A lot of those clubs, like, you get patched in, and I think it's like,
I have
it's
no like idea. Any other.
Okay.
Dave Temple's in a black motorcycle club.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Let's
you can see the difference.
Yo, for sure.
It's just like, you know, these a Sworn Enemy show, it's like, you know, Hatebreed. I used to book him through Jamie Josta, actually. I've known Jamie since Jamie was like 20 and I was 16.
Noted pasta salesman now.
Jamie Josta pasta? Get the fuck out of here.
I swear to God.
Jamie Josta's pasta?
It was on Metal Injection.
I
Josta
love it.
Pasta.
Very excited about it. Mm. I would love some Josta pasta. So,
gave it one thumb up.
So, hell yeah. That's a good fucking joke right there. He's got one thumb.
I didn't know that.
Don't tell him I said that.
But Bulldoze was in fucking the crowd for the Sworn Enemy / Coheed and Cambria show, and they just decided to beat up everybody.
Yeah.
They just decided. They got drunk, and they were doing coke. They were doing coke on the bar. It was a place called Shots, a bar called Shots in Orangeburg, New York that I had rented out. This is what shut the bar down. I shut down Shots. Shots was like a notorious underage drinking bar. There's a few places that were underage drinking bars. This is one of them. We did an all-ages afternoon show, and fucking Bulldoze came in. And I don't know if they were annoyed with Coheed and Cambria's music or whatever it is, but they were like, we're going to beat up Coheed and Cambria now. And they just beat up Coheed and Cambria.
Battle of the bands.
And they beat up a bunch of teenage kids that were like dancing and singing to Coheed and Cambria. And they were just like, this is not hardcore. And we have to beat everybody here up.
Wow.
And it was crazy, dude. And the cops came and they shut everything down. Like these guys pulled out blackjacks, which is like a piece of leather a piece of lead in a leather strap, and they were just fucking whacking like 15-year-old kids in the head.
Damn.
Just fuck, it was wild, and I was like, fucking,
that's a great show.
Yeah, that was one of the last shows that I ever produced.
Wouldn't it be fun if you could do that with comics?
Yeah, it's just fucking.
That ain't comedy.
Yeah, get back. But dude, when Coheed and Cambria got beat up by Bulldoze, it was the fucking. I forget about these things sometimes.
Good times.
Oh yeah,
they're probably all in jail now or something.
Bulldoze.
Yeah,
maybe, possibly. I think the drummer went to jail for killing somebody or something.
There you go.
It's crazy.
So the Hells Angels are now watching a barbecue stand.
I'm sure they're getting. I bet a dinosaur bar, like a chain like that, I bet they get a nice little.
Sure. They got money.
And I bet that's a scary sight when you walk. I bet they're not breaking any of those windows.
No, sir.
Well, I bet you that. I would assume that black people would just be.
Respectful of barbecue.
Yeah, very
in general.
Just like, come on. Hey, if we're going to leave one place alone.
Right.
Leave all the Kentucky Fried Chickens, all the Popeyes.
Dallas barbecue.
Hell yeah.
Check cashing.
Yeah. All right, gentlemen, really quick, we must thank MyBookie for sponsoring today's show. MyBookie, what an incredible website, easy platform to go and gamble on all of your favorite sports. The NFL season is returning. MMA has been back for a while. You guys know how much I fucking love the sport of mixed martial arts. Well, guess what? MyBookie is the best place to go and place all of your bets. So they're doing this special deal for Real Ass Podcast listeners where we are going to double your first deposit. Double your first deposit. If you put $1,000 down, guess what? Now you're playing with $2,000, and new players are also getting up to $1,000 in free play. This is designed to add more excitement to the sports that you already love and put your knowledge to the test. I'll tell you right now, how often are you sitting there, you're like, I know who's going to win this fucking game. They're an underdog. I should have bet. They go and win, and you go, I'm an idiot. Why didn't I just put $100 down? Why didn't I put a couple $100 down? Well, do that right now, and why not take free money? If I saw a $100 bill lying on the floor right now, you'd probably pick it up, right? Well, that's what we're doing. We're doubling your deposit, free money, up to $1,000 in free play for new players. So all you got to do right now is go to mybookie.ag and use the promo code RAP, and you get to double your first deposit. Once again, that promo code is RAP. Go to mybookie.ag. Okay, where were we? So, all right, let's talk about this. What is this now? Texas school district responds after cotton pickers mascot goes viral.
Cotton picking.
Pickers. What is this?
So, hold on.
What happened to my coffee, Dylan, you fucking faggot?
1 second. This one has an ad. 1 second.
Go get the coffee while the ad comes up.
Why do I ridge wild?
I want both. I want my goddamn I asked for coffee. How long ago did I ask for coffee? Yes.
Uh-oh.
It was a long, long time ago.
Don't turn into Ellen, Lewis.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Ellen pretends to be something she's not.
That's
the problem. I'm a cunt to everybody. If they were ever like, Lewis abuses his staff, like, yeah.
Yeah.
You want a fucking job?
You
Let's
can quit.
Go, bitch. Yeah, that's the thing. You could quit your job. People are such pussies.
Every boss I've had was a huge cunt.
Well, it's also, it's the dynamic. It's a natural dynamic between boss and employee. No matter how hard you try, you're going to be a dick. It's an age-old thing. You go like, oh, yeah, my boss is a dick. Fuck. Ah, the fucking boss is around. He walks in and you know, and I think you can like your boss, you know, and I think me and Ralph are pretty likable, but we still have uprisings at Gas Digital. Once every 3 to 6 months, there's an uprising with all the employees where they don't even say anything to us. What they do is they all converse amongst each other and they all talk about how everything's unfair for them and nothing's ever right for them. And then they develop this thing where it's us against them. And I say to all of them, like, none of you came to me and asked for change. None of you asked for a raise. None of you said, I would like to work less hours, more hours. With me, all you gotta do is say, I would like this.
Yeah.
And that's the lesson to be fucking learned. It's don't go to each other because now nobody gets a raise.
Uh-huh.
Did you think you were all getting a raise? Does everybody here fucking deserve a raise? Do we think that's the way it works? Or is the smart people, are they going, I'm gonna work harder than everybody, show that I work harder than everybody, and then I'm gonna go to my boss and be like, hey, let me show you why I'm more valuable than I was 6 months ago.
Right.
That's the way you handle fucking business.
Hear, hear. Yeah, it's just weird. Like, you can get canceled for being mean now.
It's bizarre.
It's very
strange.
It's
a crazy world we live in.
Yeah, it's not like you could like walk up to Letterman back in the day if you were a PA and be like, I got a great idea for a bit.
Yeah.
Or Stern or any of these people that are like mega powers. Like
they should be a little bit intimidating.
Yeah.
The show
is a huge hit. Like, she's doing something right. I don't know.
You need to keep people a little on edge sometimes in order to get the best out of them. They need to be a little bit like, oh, fuck, the boss is here.
Yeah,
let me straighten up. That dynamic is healthy, actually, because then, and also when the boss isn't there, they get to go, oh, let me relax a little bit and be fucking cool. And that it doesn't hurt to sort of like, it doesn't hurt to be a little bit on edge. It doesn't hurt to challenge somebody. It doesn't hurt to make somebody a little bit uncomfortable. That right there, that like all of those things make you stronger as an employee, as a person, as a partner. You know, I was saying this about New York City in general, and this is now that I've left, I'm very, very happy. But the years that I spent in New York City, 20 years, it is a hard city to get by in. It is expensive as hell. Rent is fucking crazy. It's very dirty. It's very loud. You're like, why am I even here? Like, it's not bad. Like, the restaurants are tiny and everything. Like, you go to Target. Target's like 18 floors up. It's just like a little fucking, you go to Target in the East Village. It's like every floor is just like a little aisle of a Target. And then you go up. It's such a bizarre city, but it sort of puts you on edge and it makes you sort of test yourself to become the best version of yourself. And then when they say, if you can make it here, you can make it anywhere, I think that's sort of what they're talking about. It's like the city constantly challenges you. There's, if you look to the left or right, there's somebody that's competing with you, better than you, making you want to be better at all times, constantly, you know. And then there's also all the shit.
Thank God I can look to my left.
But it really is. And I think that when you're dealing with a dickhead of a boss or a person who's in a position of power, there's also a culture of hazing a little bit. Like we do that with Dylan, right? Where it's like, I fuck with him, right? A little bit. And I don't think it's bad that Dylan gets hazed a little bit. When I say haze, it's not like we're fucking beating him with bars of soap. We should. But
put a pine cone up his ass.
We tease him, we rape him. No, we tease him a little bit though, and we make the path harder for him, because guess what? I spent 10 years doing podcasting and producing my friend shows and with making no money and having just for the fucking love of it. And it should be a little bit of a harder path, you know. And as obviously the technology becomes easier, we create opportunities and we're doing something pretty unique here. But at the same time, that culture existed. Like I got fucking destroyed by comics like Bobby Kelly and Big J Okerson and all these guys coming up, and they would fucking trash me. You would sort of like, it's sort of a rite of passage, and that culture definitely exists here. And I think it exists in most, you know, if you go to a firehouse,
right?
The older firefighters are fucking with the younger guy and sports hiding teams. His fucking flame retardant equipment, catching fire.
Right. Dude, where's my fucking helmet? No, it's true.
Get in there without a helmet, you pussy.
But there's something to be said also for, like, Ellen is this huge, you know, powerhouse millionaire celebrity. So she doesn't want to be on with every Tom, Dick, and intern in the building. Like, she has to, she can't expel that much energy. She's got to save it for the stage or save it for whatever. And I can't just go, how you doing? Like, you ever headline three shows? You do a meet and greet, then you meet the feature, you meet the opener. It's a lot of work, but you got to save that for the stage. So she can't just be like chummy with everybody because she doesn't have that much energy.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, she shouldn't be. You can't. It's not like her job isn't to be fucking friendly with everybody. That's a very weird thing. Now, good strategy is to be friendly with people. Be friendly with the right people. I'm sure she is. I'm sure she's very friendly with the people that have fucking greased their way to the top. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And that's a game that people play. And guess what? The people that complain about it, they're not playing the game the right way. Mm-hmm. Those are people with hurt feelings, and then they go, oh, what? Why? They weren't nice. Like, you're you get the fuck out of the way.
Just quit.
Like, you are not meant for this business. You're not meant for any competitive industry.
Right.
If it's a competitive industry, people are going to be fucking cutthroat. And when people are being kind to your face, most of the time there's an ulterior motive, and you need to be conscious of that. If somebody is fucking super ass kissy and super fucking friendly, I'm going like, I just cut through the bullshit. I would rather take somebody, they're in a fucking grumpy mood. It is what it is. You know what I'm saying? You know, this is who I am. When you see people at their worst, you're also getting a better perception of who they really are. Because when you see people at their best, it's easy to be a phony. Look at everyone's social media. Look at everyone's Instagram page. Everyone's eating the best food in the world.
Right.
They're fucking got abs. They're always fucking looking great. Their skin always looks great. They're always on a cool place. But when you break down, now that is little events that are propping up their horseshit lives. They're depressing, fucked up, crazy lives. They're crying. They're dealing with fucking people cheating on them. They're dealing with death. They're dealing with losing their jobs, losing their money, uncertainty about the future. That all exists, you know? So when you're seeing the best version, right, it's not real.
Yeah.
When you're seeing the worst version, that is much more indicative of who you're actually dealing with.
Well, I think we're getting a lot of that with the pandemic.
Yes.
Everyone just at home, they're gnawing at their own arm, you know, and so then they just focus on social media and they just fight. Everybody's evil except me.
Yeah,
the government, Trump, fuck it all.
It's crazy. I opted out of the political thing, and I'll watch the news here and there. I have my finger on the pulse just because it's nearly impossible to not. But
you got to keep a distance.
Yeah, the emotion that people feel for that.
It's crazy.
I mean, if you would just, and Mark, you're a great example of this because you work really hard. You're one of the hardest workers that I know in comedy. You constantly write. You're constantly working and performing and getting up on stage. And that is, I think people need to be more focused on that. You're going to create more good for yourself and others around you if you just put your head down and say, I'm going to work on making my life really good.
Right.
In a positive way. Not by, you know, sticking it to fucking other people or taking advantage of other people. But if you're just saying, I'm really focused on making my life great, I'm focused on making my friends and family around me have great lives and creating that sort of positive energy, that will carry over in a much more positive and realistic and tangible way than whatever the fuck is going on, these culture wars that were happening.
Unbelievable.
These people that we argue with regularly on the internet, and I'm going like,
what a waste of time. This is your life? You're going to spend, you got one life, you're going to die soon. Like, don't spend it fighting with a guy in Oklahoma on Twitter who has 3 followers.
Yeah.
It's silly.
It's and I'm speaking to myself right now as well, because I have to stop doing that myself.
I've done it too.
I get into these fucking things with these people and I'm going like...
And then I'm refreshing, like, seeing
response. Yes, it's a waste.
And I'm just, I'm like... Like, I don't really even hate any of these people.
Right.
I move on. I'm such a, whatever my personality trait is, like, if somebody even does me really wrong, like, if somebody does me really dirty, I can very quickly let bygones be bygones.
Yeah.
I don't hold grudges. Well, I really don't.
You know what it is? It's like the way a cat is with a laser pointer. We do that with Twitter. We get all worked up. The blood starts pumping. The heart starts going. And then you realize, there's nothing here. I've been going nuts for 10 minutes on nothing.
As soon as the laser pointer is off, you're like, oh.
Yeah, it's done.
I need some catnip.
Right. Yeah, it's weird times. But people need a goal. People need structure. People need – I know I sound like a drill sergeant, but people need some kind of thing to work towards. And now we can't go to work. Everybody's at home.
No school. Yeah.
You're going nuts. And all you have is that laptop. And it's easier to play on Twitter than it is to, like, face your real shit in life. And
that's an interesting
face your demons.
So it really is. It really is an interesting point, because that goal – so having an actual goal, right? And really believing not only believing in the goal and wanting to hit that goal, but believing that you can achieve that goal, right?
Yeah.
So setting out a goal, whether it's weekly, monthly, whatever the fuck it is, right? But having that goal, what happens is all of your decisions start being geared toward hitting that goal.
Yes.
So you start doing a lot more positive things in life in order to do that, right? So let's say something really simplified. Let's say it's a sales. You got a sales job. You got a sales goal, right?
Yeah, you got to hit that goal.
Well, now you're coming into work on time every day. You are looking as good as you've ever looked, because you got to get in front of these people and you have to be presentable. You mm-hmm. have to, you know, you have to feel good. You're eating a little bit healthier because you want to make sure, like, shit, if I eat fucking shitty in the morning, I feel sluggish by halfway through the day.
Right.
You know, I'm smoking less weed. I'm fucking, you just start firing on all cylinders because you have this specific thing in mind to focus on. And in order to achieve that, you have to sort of get those other things in order.
Yes.
And that's across the board. It's in life. You're buying a house. If you have to buy a house, you're going to probably have to work harder. You're going to have to save more money. You're going to have to make more responsible decisions. You're going to, and all of those things sort of feed into the next thing.
Right. Yeah. I mean, look at you. You're doing these fights. You don't have to do that.
No.
But it gives you something to work towards. Now you're working out. Now you have, like, kind of a motivation, a little fear, like,
and
I can't lose this thing.
It connects to everything.
Exactly.
It connects to the way I perform on stage. I'm feeling better right now.
Right.
I'm not, like, whatever it is, I'm taking care of my body. I'm building out this, you know, this house that I just moved into. I'm putting a podcast studio downstairs. I'm getting new furniture. I'm sort of fixing these things in my life. It's very psychologically therapeutic.
Oh, yeah.
It really is.
Feels
when you consider
good.
It. And everyone's like, dude, you're afraid of Jason. Are you afraid? Dude, of course I'm afraid to fucking get into a fight.
Yeah.
It is. People don't realize what it is. Like, dude, are you? Yes. When I'm going to walk out to the fucking ring and fight this guy, I'm going to be terrified. I'm going to be shaking.
Yes.
You're going to feel like you have to poop.
It is nuts. It is really a scary fucking thing. You don't know what's going to happen, but it is worth it.
Oh,
for
yeah.
Everything else for me to fire. And forget to the fact that I have sponsors and I'm making money off, and I'll make money off the fight itself. That's just another byproduct of all
right,
this other
right.
stuff. Because everything else is coming into play because I have this hyper-focus. I have this goal in mind and all the other things that I need to do in order to achieve that goal. I'm telling you right now, I'm going to have to be in the best shape of my life psychologically, physically. I'm going to have to get there.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's not even a chance. And that really put things in order. Like right now, I'm so focused right now.
You're not going to go get shit-faced?
I mean, I'll probably get a little shit-faced.
All right.
The fight's on another 6 months. What are you going to do?
Oh, 6 months. All right. I thought it was next week. But I think a big thing now, especially in America, we have it so good. We got Uber Eats. We got Netflix. It's all right there. Discomfort is good for you. And most people push it away. And I think the best thing in their life would be to embrace discomfort, go towards it, and, you know, go to the gym, set up a fight, start a weird podcast, start a web series, whatever it is, because, and they're gonna go, I don't know, it might fail. I'm nervous. It'll suck. And I'm like, yeah, yeah, suck for a while, then it'll get better.
And you'll make the necessary adjustments in order to succeed with the next thing, right?
Right.
So whatever it is, like, let's say you fail at this fucking project, all of those mistakes you made, it's really invaluable. I hate to get all fucking preachy. This has become a self-help thing, but it's a really interesting conversation.
It's true.
But those failures teach you how to succeed.
Yes.
You have to fail. You have to fail a bunch. Because if you don't, what's going to happen is, if let's say you just got lucky or things were given to you, when you do fail, when it fucking really matters, mm-hmm. okay, you're not going to be used to that. You're not going to know how to adapt. The failures are 100% necessary. I'm actually, today in the Gas Digital meeting, we have a production meeting after this, and one of the things I'm going to talk about is just sort of like ideas and bringing more ideas to the table. This is for all of our producers, right? And bad ideas are fucking great. I'm gonna compliment you later, Dylan, because you have so many bad ideas.
That's good.
It's fucking crazy.
It's
yes.
still an idea.
Really is. It's way better than no idea.
Yeah.
Everything that, this is the truth, okay? Everything that you can touch, think about, everything that you like, everything that you enjoy, everything started off as an idea and a conversation between a couple people. This fucking table, this business, Gas Digital, the fucking, you know, Netflix. It was an idea. Some guy had an idea.
You have no idea how bad I want a supercut of you trying to make examples of things and starting with the table. Literally every time Lewis tries to make a list of things, it's just what's around him immediately. He goes, you know, you just got things like tables and microphones. We could do a supercut of you.
It's true.
Your eyes darting around the room, and then you go,
I don't
like this table.
I can't pull references from my memory. It's visual. It has to be right in front of me.
Right.
A shirt, glasses, a hat. But it really is true. Everything came from an idea, and you don't know if it's going to be a good idea or a bad idea until it's executed.
Yeah.
It's not even just said out loud. Saying it out loud is just the very, very beginning, but actually executed to the highest fucking level, and you really give it a shot. So do you know how many bad ideas I fucking have? It's nonstop bad ideas regularly.
Same.
And it's sifting through those fucking bad ideas that you find the good ones. It's the reason Skankfest exists, right?
Right.
It's the reason that, I mean, too, by the way, we did a Legion of Skanks family barbecue for 3 years in a row. Nobody gave a fuck, mm-hmm. right? That bad idea turned into something that was fucking incredible that nobody else has done. And in my opinion, the coolest fucking comedy festival in the world. Gas Digital, me and Ralph just batting around ideas,
right.
just silly little fucking things. This has become my livelihood. This has become the way we have, you know, a dozen producers that work for us, 40 hosts that work for this network. They're all simply ideas. So you have to just fucking, honestly, you know, you have to just be constantly taking the chance.
Yeah.
Constantly taking the chance. Constantly making the opportunity for yourself, because the people that are sitting back and waiting for it to happen and just waiting for people to come to them with ideas,
mm-hmm.
you're going to be a worker for the rest of your fucking life.
That's true. And don't be, even if you can't come up with a great idea, don't be the cunt who goes, oh, that's stupid. I've never heard of that. That's not going to work. Don't be that guy. I hate that guy who just shits on everything. Like, look at Bert Kreischer. He's like, all right, we got COVID. Clubs are closed. I'll go do a drive-in tour. And everybody said, what are you, nuts? Fuck that. Sit it out. How are you going to make that work?
I said that 2 weeks before him, by the way, on this show.
Well, there you go.
Drive-in tour.
He said everybody called him like, this is stupid. You're out of your mind. What are you, crazy? And now it was a huge hit. They all sold out, whatever, tons of money. And now everybody's like, how'd you do that? Well, what's the procedure there? And it's like, yeah, just go for it. And everybody's going to say no, but don't be the naysayer. Last thing I'll say, then we'll move on because we're getting a little Tony Robbins here. But another problem is these cum guzzlers who their masterpiece is shitting and taking down yours.
Yeah.
They tweet like, we got to cancel this guy. We got to ruin Ellen. We got to take this person out. That's their contribution. Like, go make your own shit. You got to bring someone else down. That's your lot in life. That's horrible.
Yeah, there's a...
That's a new thing now.
Oh, like, of course.
Well, I'm the guy who ruined Louie or whatever, you know?
Well, that's become a, you know, people just fucking, they get addicted to the accolades. They get addicted to
the patting on the back.
Yeah, and then when they feel as if they're doing something good as well,
right.
they sort of have this like, it's weird. It's a weird psychology that these people have. That's why I told Big J not to go on that podcast, was because like, you're not going to convince them. They're speaking a completely different language.
Right.
We're not talking the same language here. They've like, it's almost religion. Like, you're trying to convince somebody
it
who
is.
Really believes in God
mm-hmm.
that God's not real. Like, we're like,
right.
this is silly. Like,
yeah.
there's no God, you idiot. You fucking more. And they're like, what? Like, the holy divine.
Right.
You're just not going to, it's been ingrained in them, and they feel as if they're morally righteous with it as well.
Yes.
So it's like a double whammy. Not only do they really believe this, but then they go, like, you're bad for trying to think anything else. Like, you're a horrible person. And it's almost noble in a weird way.
Sure.
Because what they're doing, they're coming from a place where they think they're genuinely trying to help, and they've just, they're brainwashed and convinced themselves that that is actually doing something good. I don't know
how much it is. But these are smart people. It's so fascinating. Like, yeah. I know educated people who think that way, and I'm like, what are you doing? This is crazy. I don't know. The whole thing's a bummer. And I hope in 10 years we look back and go, those are weird times, huh? What was I thinking?
I think it's going to be more than that. I think it'll be 100 years. I think it's going to be, do you remember when the human race nearly killed itself because they didn't understand how to speak to that many people at the same time?
Right.
We spent, you know, thousands of years doing this, and we've sort of mastered, like, we make eye contact, we shake hands, and then all of a sudden in the span of 10 years, it became like, I can speak to thousands of people at a time. I could share my ideas very quickly. And it became sharing of ideas, like, so much, just so many opinions just coming in your fucking face every single day that you never have time to sit and think about what your opinion is on those opinions. So there's no meditation. There's no self-reflectiveness. It is just like, you know, fire off, fire off, fire off. And I think you're getting people that are, whereas they, on the surface, they have way more convictions and they seem to be so much more passionate. Nobody gives a fuck. I think I think the generations before us really cared way more about these social and political issues, but they didn't wear it on their sleeve. They were embarrassed to talk about it, but they would get in and they would vote and they would have these convictions. And it was like a few weirdos. You'd be a professor who was like into politics and like they were like, "Oh, let me tell you about fucking now it's everybody."
I agree. I think people truly don't give a shit. Like, everybody's like, Chadwick Boseman. I'm like, I've never heard you talk about Chadwick Boseman.
Yeah.
Like, can you name three movies he's in besides Black Panther? And they're like, we got to be like, oh, it's so sad. I'm like, yeah, it's sad. A guy died. That's horrible. But like, when did you love this guy? You don't have a poster of him on your wall. It's just so pile on and sheepish and like, this is the way the wind's blowing. I'm in.
Of course.
And then you'd mentioned religion. Somebody had a great point. I forgot who said this, but he's like, wokeness is the only religion without forgiveness. Yeah. Every religion has forgiveness or repent or whatever.
That's probably Louis.
Maybe, yeah. But where's the forgiveness? You know, you, this guy did a horrible thing, or this woman did a horrible thing, and they're just done forever. I think that'll also be another iteration
of this as well, because you start to see it sometimes. Mike Tyson, I feel like they sort of gave a shot at redemption.
Right.
They're letting black people get shots at redemption. Mm. What's his name who beat up? We talked about him a couple shows
ago. Chris Brown.
I think that eventually that hypocrisy will sort of come front and center, or eventually they're gonna forgive a few people that they really need to forgive, right? But we'll see.
It's very strange. Like, a guy can go away, go murder somebody, go to jail for 30 years, come back, or like, we're compassionate, good to have you back, you served your time. And you're like, all right, well, what about Louis?
Yeah.
You know, that's not murder.
Well, the problem is, and it's interesting you say, like, there's no forgiveness in this woke religion. The problem is you can't ask for repentance, right? So once you go and repent to these people, right?
They double down.
They fucking double down. So you have to say, I'm not sorry. I would do it again.
Isn't that simple as that? Isn't that weird? That's the only answer.
Isn't it fucked up that even if you really are sorry, it's a better play?
Strange.
It's a better, it's just a better angle than fucking, I'm sorry. Like, you know, I've learned. I'm going to go and take some time away and fucking. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they'll say that's an empty apology.
They'll break it down no matter what you say. Right. They're going to break down. And so you're better off going, yeah, fuck you. It's what Joey did. When Joey Diaz, they tried to go after him, he was like, yeah, fuck you, dude. I am who I am. Go fuck yourself. So I went to jail for kidnapping a man. You're worried that I fucking had a girl suck my dick 20 years ago? Are you fucking crazy?
It's insane, some of the people we've had on the show.
Well, that's the standard that they have. Like Joey fucking kidnapped a human being by gunpoint. I believe that's the story.
Yeah.
And they were like, yeah, cool, listen to this podcast, great. And then he tells a story about how a girl sucked his dick to get a guest spot at the Comedy Store, and people are like, he's got to go. You're like, what are we talking about?
Right. You guys have Milo on, Shitstorm of the Century. Me, Ralph, and Jay interviewed Michael Alec, the guy who killed his fucking drug dealer and threw him in the East River.
Oh, wow.
And nobody cared.
Nobody gives a shit. Well, nobody even cared about Milo the second time either, because we weren't at the Creek. Yeah. Because it was the Creek, and that's that fucking woke horse shit over there, I think people thought we were like bringing a fucking Nazi into their thing. And it was very Legion of Skanks, they don't really come after us too often because we're so unapologetic.
Right,
like, they know what it is. Like, the second you say, those guys say crazy shit, they're like, yeah, yeah, we know.
Yeah, but right. They didn't go after you guys, more or less. They went after Rebecca.
They did. You're right. They did go after the Creek.
Weird, huh? What a weird time. None of it adds up.
Right, and it also shows you how unapologetic those people are. It's like, yeah, they'll go after the Creek. The one guy, Ron...
Krasnow.
That guy had fucking... He still tweets about me, so that's why I'll fucking name that pussy's name.
Oh, we don't want to get into names here.
Naming names. Ron Krasnow, fucking...
I thought he was a nice guy.
Cucksucker. That guy had cancer. Rebecca threw a benefit for this guy at the Creek, okay? Fucking benefit for this guy. I believe she let him, like, sleep at her place at certain times. Like, she was a friend to this guy.
Then
because we're having Milo on, he's going to publicly come out and fucking talk shit about Rebecca and the Creek.
Damn.
Like, where is the sense of loyalty that these people have? Where it's like, what is it? So your Rebecca is a person who is straight up a fucking liberal, woke,
sure,
like feminist ally, has created safe spaces for women, people
organizing
of color, gay people.
Self-defense classes for female
comics. I am talking
Thanksgiving
about
dinner for free.
Yeah,
every
lets
year.
People, if you're a homeless comic and need a place to crash, she will fucking let you crash on her couch. She is, I am talking about one of the fucking patron saints of the open mic woke comedy community. She's
a giver.
She's a giver, okay?
She never asked for anything in return.
And I'm telling you right now, like, and much more so to those people than people like Legion of Skanks are sort of the outliers. Like, we're like... My hand, I talk like, you know, my new Italian side.
Soundboard's haunted.
But Ridge Wallet did it.
Ridge Wallet, you son of a bitches. You son of a bitches.
It's probably for the best. We're going in a weird rabbit hole here.
But no, if fucking, you know, Rebecca... you know, for anybody to say anything about her, even if
she's
like
a saint,
you feel like, oh, she let these guys bring a Milo, you'd go, all right, we know who Rebecca is. Mm-hmm. She's not harboring Nazis. Even if you really believe that Milo's a Nazi, you know that's not who she is. You can go by the data. 99.9999999999% of the time she's being a woke asshole like you guys. So the one second where she says, well, I'm torn here. I'm not going to tell these guys who they can have on their show. That's not fair. As a venue owner, I've never done it before, and that would be really weird for me to start doing now. But at the same time, I don't really want this guy in my venue. She had a weird line to fucking toe.
Right.
And for them to go after her, it shows you the level of loyalty that those people have.
That's
a bummer. It really is. Because that woman, you know, look, we ended up leaving, which costs her venue fucking money.
Sure.
You know, they don't give a shit about that at all. They're like, yeah, well, good.
Mm-hmm.
And then they keep on moving their shows out of there. Like, yeah, sorry, she harbored a Nazi once, so nobody should ever go there. It's like, that's just a crazy fucking way to be.
Yeah, it bums me out.
Yeah. All right, last thing we'll talk about
right now. All right, let's lighten it up, huh?
Uber to crack down on non-mask wearers with a new mask selfie policy.
Ooh.
So apparently the new policy is this. If you've been reported for not wearing a mask, what they're going to do is on your next ride, they're going to ask you to send a selfie of you wearing the mask.
Mm-hmm. All right.
That's fair.
That's fair. It's their gig.
And then they can decline the ride for you not wearing a mask.
I've had drivers take their mask off halfway through so far.
The mask is very strange. I'll go everywhere. Everywhere I go and hang out with people, we wear a mask for 8 minutes, and then it just comes off, and no one mentions a test or if they have it. It just happens. It's just human nature.
Yeah, I mean, if you're hanging out with people, you know, I don't think the mask is going to really help.
I think with a car, it makes sense because it's a stranger. You don't know how many people are getting in. You don't know where they've been, what they've been exposed to.
Right, it's recycled air. Kinda.
I will just say my only problem with the or not even problem, like, my only thing I'll say about it is, like, were we seeing, like, massive spikes in, like, Uber drivers or cab drivers getting COVID before masks became a thing? No, we weren't.
Just precautionary.
I know it's precautionary, and that's why it's fine. But at the same time, I feel like it's almost like they're saying, like, jump up and down. That'll stop COVID. And you're like, really? Does it? They're like,
right,
yep.
Right.
Like, no, stop. Pat yourself on the head now. We're doing it. It's a lot of, like, making us do these things that... I just don't know how necessary they are. Now, I'd rather be safe than sorry.
Yeah.
I also want to fucking eat a meal. I'll walk into the restaurant with a man. Who gives a shit? If I want to take an Uber, and that's the policy of the Uber, if it's going to make him feel more comfortable, more power to you. But I don't believe that the masks actually did anything to stop the spread. Mm-hmm. We were too far beyond it already. Mm-hmm. Maybe if we were all wearing masks from day one, we can know. But I don't even think that would have helped. Because, once again, I always just point to the fact that it was like, were people that were if they were like, holy shit, dude, 90% of our Uber drivers caught COVID.
Right.
You're like, oh shit, yeah. If you're in a car with somebody that, and we spent November, December, January, February, March, April, maybe around May, masks became like starting to be standard for everywhere, right? It was months and months and months. And I saw nothing that said that. Same thing with like, you know, if there was a Knicks game and they were like, you know what, it's this crazy contagious virus. We had, 8,000 people of the 24,000 people in the stadium caught COVID. Like, we know that this is something that's really deadly and airborne, but it's like that data never came out.
Right.
It seemed to be pretty fucking random. I got to be honest with you. It seems like everybody got exposed to it. Your body either fought it or it didn't fight it.
Right.
Hold on a second. What happened to the cotton pickers?
Oh, yeah.
What did happen to the cotton pickers?
They're late.
Underground Railroad? What happened? What was the end of that?
It's been a half an hour we've been waiting for these cotton pickers.
Damn.
Of course.
Sitting here.
Well, if you don't pay them.
What happened? What happened to the cotton pickers?
All right, so this sports reporter just put out like a normal tweet saying like the Robstown cotton pickers come out before their season opener against the London tonight. And then it just went viral because everyone was like, wait.
What are the Robstown cotton pickers?
They're a great football team, man.
Where's Robstown?
Texas. Wow.
There you go.
Can we see anything?
Yeah, is there logo. Waiting for her. There we go. Shannon. There we go. That's their logo.
The Robstown Independent School District. Are they black? Is it a black school? If it's a black school and they're all kids that live in a place called Robstown, that's also hilarious.
It's pretty black.
Yeah.
But it is a football team.
Yeah.
That's the one beefy white guy.
The Robstown Independent School District. It is cotton. Do they have a healthy history of picking cotton, like non-slavery related? Because why do we have to? Why is the whole cotton picking industry being fucking demonized?
Yeah,
it is a thing that exists. We do need cotton, right?
If they win the big game instead of Gatorade, do they dump Kool-Aid on the coach?
I think the other article had a quote. Look on the paper. I think I put down.
You want me to find a newspaper now?
No. Look on the. Fuck under the article.
Okay, they I think represents a sense of pride based on the tradition for the students and historical legacy for the community members of Robstown. But I'm saying, is cotton picking still a thing? They invented the cotton gin, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't that a thing that stopped?
Eli Whitney.
Yeah,
that didn't stop it. That actually ramped it up. Sorry to be the the cotton gin is the process of taking the seeds and the stuff out of the cotton. Mm. So technically, they wanted more slaves to go.
Oh, they were like, whoa, we can fucking okay. I thought the cotton gin was do you remember? Do you remember the old school story of? I don't remember
Mark
exactly.
Henry.
Yeah,
Steel Driving Man. John Henry. Mark Henry's a wrestler.
Mark Henry's a wrestler, but
John Henry.
He would have played a great John Henry.
Yes,
but John Henry versus the fucking
railroad.
Yeah, like the railroad spikes, and he was the machine was putting in. And didn't he die at the end of it?
Yeah,
is that
he
the?
Did?
Yeah, he died at the end of it. He worked himself to death.
His heart gives out.
Wow, what an ass! What a real ass!
Okay, you know what?
Pushed it.
Wrestler of the week: Mark Henry, John Henry.
He's a real ass dude. He's got a bad attitude. One might feel he's rude. He's a real ass dude.
All right. Real Ass Dude of the Week. So yeah, that's what I thought it was. I thought it was like,
no, I think
they created
separate.
A machine to compete against the slaves. And at first, it was probably some sort of spectacle, like a contest. They were like 35 slaves versus this one cotton gin. Who wins? It's just a robot just right. Picking cotton out.
These robots are taking our slavery.
If we could only teach these robots to dance.
I really thought it was slave robots. That's what I thought the cotton gin was slave robots that would do the work of slaves.
Oh, they would have loved that. The slaves were like, thank God.
There was a house cotton gin. It would tell another cotton gin that were running away. Woo. Was Eli Whitney a black man? I always assumed he was a black man as well.
I don't think so. Eli? I don't know.
Yeah, Eli Whitney. Was he a black man or a white man? I just assumed he was a black man. He's a white guy, huh? What about Orville Redenbacher?
That's a whitey.
That, I always assumed Orville Redenbacher was an old black guy. That's Eli. Okay. Yeah. He looks like Eli Sayers.
Ah.
Does. Orville Redenbacher, the other guy.
Sounds like a black guy.
Mr. Clean. Always thought Mr. Clean was a black guy. Turns out he's a white guy.
He's right on the box.
I know, but I thought he's got a nice tan.
That's true, and an earring. Yeah. Looks like a genie. Holy Orville. Shit.
I think that guy's white.
Holy shit.
Yeah,
that's Orville Redenbacher,
right.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Why would you trust anything that man gave you?
I know. That's a
here, eat
one.
Some of this popcorn.
Come in my dungeon.
Get out of my fucking face, Orville. Yeah, I attribute a lot of these things to black people. I don't know why I just assumed Orville Redenbacher was a black guy.
Colonel Sanders?
Colonel Sanders? No, he's a slave owner.
Oh, got it.
Number one question, is Mr. Clean black?
Hey, you're not the only one. See?
There we go. I'm not the only one. He did pull up Mr. Clean.
Okay, it says now that person is
oh, black. Yeah, the new Mr. Clean is black.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Can we see him?
Yeah, that'll solve racism.
Oh. Wait a minute.
Wait, what's that a comparison of?
This is just a Grindr app.
Yeah.
I think this guy plays the genie in Aladdin on Broadway.
He's Shazam.
I didn't know the new Mr. Clean was black.
Now he is. Great teeth on that guy.
Yeah, Jesus Christ, got a beautiful, beautiful smile.
Mr. Clean Getaway.
All right. Let's wrap this one. It's been a fun show. Fun show. Little preachy. It's all good.
Yeah, we got
Shannon,
into it.
Give me a preach. Oh, there we go. I got it.
Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to put your hands in the sky for the rattlesnake. Thank you, rattlesnake. Praise him.
I preach a little bit sometimes. Sometimes I got to preach. Get throw it out there.
Go create something and stop yelling at everybody.
So I pray. You
eat,
got
pray
to
love.
Pray just to make it today. You remember that one? When MC Hammer went fucking religious?
No.
You remember that song?
Mm-mm. I didn't have an MP3 player.
Dude, he did the fucking like, oh, but he was doing this the whole time. It was a pray dance. I swear to God.
I remember that a little bit.
Yeah. All right. We're rapping. You guys are the fucking shit. Thank you for supporting The Real Ass Podcast. We'll be back next Wednesday, this Wednesday with another great show. Until then, good night.
That's all, folks.